So good to see all of you out tonight. Thank you for being here. Let me welcome you if you're visiting with us. Thank you for coming out, and look forward to getting to meet you after our service concludes tonight. Tonight's lesson is a continuation of a series of lessons that we began back in September. And I don't know how it happened, but I got to preaching those lessons. I had two lessons on the Sunday morning series going there, and then we had some other issues, I guess, that came up that I had to deal with from the pulpit, so we postponed the series. And so tonight we're going to finish up this series. And this series, basically, the whole beginning of this series, the reason why we started it, was we had a request. You may remember back in the summer, we had a sign-up sheet on the back bulletin board for sermon topics. And this was one of the topics as far as men preparing to become deacons and elders someday. And let me issue this compliment before we get into the lesson. In almost 10 years of preaching, this is the first congregation I've ever been at where I put up a sign-up sheet for topic suggestions on sermons that the sheet actually got filled out. It's great. And so I have enjoyed that. And for those of you who listed topics that I have not gotten around to preaching on yet, I have not forgotten you. And we will be getting to those topics as we have opportunities. So, and every so often I'll be doing that, putting suggestions, letting you list out your suggestions so that you can be sure and have a topic maybe that you're wondering about discussed either in a bulletin article or in a sermon such as what we're going to be doing tonight. So far in this series, we've talked about leading with integrity. And we've also talked about leading with optimism. And tonight, we're going to be talking about leading with vision. And it has been my experience, as we look at men who are considering one day of finding themselves in a leadership role in the church, that after they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, they start off living their spiritual lives with little or no thought as to what is necessary in order to be done right now so that down the road they can become leaders in the Lord's church. I want you to look around and consider of people that you know, people who have started out, spiritually speaking, in their lives and have lived their lives in such a way that their capacity for leadership one day down the road is greatly damaged because of hypocritical living going on at the present. Maybe you've seen that going on among some. How many men do you know that start off now getting involved in their Christian life, but yet never work on having a godly marriage, never work on having a happy marriage, and one that would be a model for others to look at? How many men do you know that go about day by day and never give thought of the necessity of raising God-fearing children who will grow up one day to surrender their lives to God? How many men only give second thought, or some not much thought at all, to the importance of having a godly home? How many men don't work to progress spiritually and still struggle with issues that they should have long dealt with in their spiritual lives, but yet for some reason, after time goes by, still struggle with those things? And how many men have given themselves over to mediocrity? How many men never live up to the great potential that God has blessed them with? While we're thinking about men stepping up into a leadership type role, I want us to turn in our Bibles for just a moment over to 1 Timothy, and we're going to look at chapter 3. Here are the qualifications for those who wish to one day serve in an elder type relationship or even as a deacon. And if you go through the first 10 verses, actually the first 12 verses here in this chapter, you will see those qualifications listed out. They're also discussed over in Titus chapter 1. And let me say, as we look at these qualifications here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, this should be the standard that every Christian strives to live up to. Every one of us should be trying to put these things on in our lives. Every one of us should try to be blameless or above reproach, as Paul writes to Timothy here. In this case, we're talking to men being the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. If a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. He must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Beginning in verse 8, we have the qualifications listed for deacons. Paul writing here says, deacons must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Skip down to verse 12 here in this text where he says, deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. He says, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. There, ladies and gentlemen, are the qualifications listed out. And again, you might write down Titus chapter 1 as we look through that chapter of what Paul would write there. Many of the things parallel what we've just read here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want you right now, take a look at your spiritual life. Take an inventory for just a moment. Ask yourself this, what are your goals? What are my goals for my future, spiritually speaking? When you think of your goals, how many of you here said, well, I want to go to heaven? Really? Yeah, good. That's right. That's a good goal to have. It is the goal. That's the default answer. But really, I want us, as we start thinking about goals for the future, to get more specific. In other words, while heaven is our goal, what am I going to do now in my life to get there? What measures am I going to take on a daily basis to make sure that every day I get just a little closer to heaven? What are your goals for spiritual growth? Would you describe yourself as a person right now that's hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Ask yourself this. What are your goals for your marriage? Would your marriage be one that would be considered to be godly and happy and be a model for others? What are your goals for your marriage? These are things to consider as you think about one day wanting to serve in a leadership role in the church. What are your goals in your prayer life? What are your goals in parenting? And what are your goals? What must you do right now so that one day you may step into that leadership role when the time is right? Those are things that we must begin thinking about now. At 18, at 25, at 30, or as you go on all through your life, it needs to be thought about. How are we doing, spiritually speaking? Are we making progress? Let me suggest to you that vision is something that is necessary to get you there. Spiritual progress does just not happen. You cannot expect to wake up one morning in a leadership position after years of spiritual neglect and a life that has been damaged because of your poor influence. It just won't happen. Vision is the foresight to be able to look down the road and see the kind of person, the kind of leader that we wish to do, and then do whatever it takes now to reach that goal. If you've looked at your life right now, if you've just taken that spiritual inventory, and you find your life spiritually weak, if you find your spiritual life without any goals or any plans for the future, then let me suggest to you, it is high time to wake up and get going spiritually. It is high time to take charge of your spiritual life. Now is the time. Too often we just talk about what we want to do, we just dream about what we want to do, and we never make any connection between the actions of now and what we want for the future. It will not happen without daily sacrifice and daily efforts. Begin moving today with trust in God that He will help you become the kind of person that He desires. It'll take effort on our part, but it's worth it in the long term. As we look at passages, I had scribbled down here in my notes Romans 13, 11 through 13. We won't take the time to read that, but basically that passage says, wake up. It's time to arise out of spiritual sleep because the day of salvation is nearer than when we first began. If you do find yourself here and just kind of stumbling around spiritually, it's time to come out of that sleepy haze that you may find yourself in and get going. But maybe you're looking at your life and you're saying, well, I am just not ready for that kind of role. I'm not ready for that kind of leadership position. And you may not be. And you may be sitting down at the bottom of that mountain saying, how could I ever get myself into the position where I would be ready? It might seem impossible. Let me suggest there is nothing impossible with God. Passages such as Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, comes to mind. And Paul's talking there about spiritual things. We can do it if we set our mind to it. Another passage that comes to mind is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where in that passage we see that nothing is impossible with God. God can help mold us into the kind of person we need to be. So as we talk about leading with vision tonight, we're going to make a few points and then the lesson will be yours. When we talk about having vision, I want us to understand it's a biblical concept. It is something that we need to be thinking about. It's a biblical thing. We go back to the book of Proverbs and we look at chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. One of the things that we'll think about when we talk about vision is that it is a biblical thing. It is a statement of our faith. It's a statement of our extreme trust in God that He can mold us into the kind of person we need to be. Look with me, if you will, back in Proverbs chapter 16. Here we read, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Listen to verse 3 here of Proverbs 16. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Planning, having a vision for our spiritual lives is biblical. I want to share with you an idea, and that is that Jesus is someone who had a vision. He had a vision of a spiritual kingdom. Isaiah prophesied about this back in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And as you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, everything with Jesus, we see Him working toward a specific goal, and that was establishing a spiritual kingdom. Everything in His ministry centered around that goal. Everything was around His people. He had a mission of cleansing people from their sin. He had a vision of people singing praises to Him and serving Him. That was His vision. That was His goal. I also would like to submit to you that Paul had a vision as well. And he encouraged those around him to have a vision. Why, we look in Philippians chapter 3, down at verses 12 through 14, you'll see that Paul was someone who had committed himself to looking ahead. Look at these passages, please, here in Philippians 3, down in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained it or become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He moved forward. He was focused on his goal. And what's interesting is you look at his ministry. Paul had a vision. He knew exactly where he was going, spiritually speaking. He realized it was his mission. Back in Acts chapter 22 and verse 10, he states that it was his mission to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. Ananias, in his conversation with him back in Acts 9, said that he was going to be sent to the Gentiles to suffer for Jesus Christ. And as a result, this vision is something that shaped his plans. He formed his entire life around that vision. That's why in Romans chapter 1 in verse 13 we read of his desire to spread the gospel and his desire to spread the gospel in Rome. Here in Romans chapter 1 in verse 13, he went to Rome to reap the fruit of the gospel. He had often planned to go to Rome and try to spread the gospel to those people. It shaped his plans. And what was also interesting about Paul's life is this vision he had also explained his actions. Our vision of how we want to lead our lives can shape and explain our actions. Paul is someone who labored where no one else had. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 at verses 13 through 16, we're going to take a moment and read these passages together for a moment, so I'd appreciate it if you turn over to this passage here. Paul's vision explained his actions. Verse 13, we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God appointed to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we were first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be, within our sphere, enlarged even more by you. Look at verse 16. So as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. Paul had a vision and a path of where he was headed. He knew what his purpose was as an apostle. It shaped his plans. It explained his actions. You see, when we have vision, we are making a statement of faith. We are setting out, we are molding our lives around that vision. We're moving in faith, believing that God will help us become the kind of person that we need to be. Goals and planning are absolutely necessary as we go throughout our spiritual lives. Why is this so important? Let me suggest, having vision to get down the road in our spiritual lives is important because it challenges us. It gives us something to work toward. You might be looking at your life right now saying, my life's a wreck. I've got some problems I've got to deal with. You may be looking at those problems that you're experiencing and saying, I just don't know. This is going to be tough. I didn't know anything that was worthwhile, that was ever worthwhile, that wasn't a challenge. Did you? It's worth it. And we need to be challenged. It gives us something to do. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 23, here verses 20 through 33, God is interacting with the children of Israel here. He takes a bunch of ex-slaves and gives them a mission. He gives them a vision. What was that vision? Well, in their case, it was getting home to a land, the land of Canaan. Of course, we know from Bible history, only two of those people in that generation accepted that vision, Joshua and Caleb. But you know, some of them were held back. Some of them didn't respond to the challenge. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we just have a challenge before us and we look at it, it's a daunting task. We wonder how we're ever going to get over it. Sometimes we just limit our field of vision to that and that one problem, and we never move forward in faith with God. We might look at ourselves and rightfully say, on our own, we can't accomplish that. We can't do that much. But with God, we can. With God, we can. God can help make that possible. Having a vision is something that challenges people to do more than they think they can. What may seem impossible at 30 can be something when we look back at age 40 and say, why did that bother me so much? Why did that challenge me so much? It can really be that way if we'll work at it and try it. Having a vision helps us to do more. Remember this passage, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20? Listen to what Paul says here in this verse. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. A vision is something also that solves problems or difficulties. It gives us something to work toward. Let's look at Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. When we make our plans, when we set a vision for our life and where we want to go, I believe this passage teaches us that it needs to be made prayerfully. Verse 21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. This verse here is talking about a way a man thinks. I think what's interesting is you look at this verse and you look at the whole context of what we're talking about tonight. We're not to be unstable. We need to be acting decisively with the way that we're living our lives. Where every action, every deed that we do today moves us closer to that goal that we have down the road. We're to become stable, spiritually speaking. Remember this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, where Paul in his writing says here, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking in the truth and love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We're not to be tossed around by every wind. We're not to be unstable. We're not to be going around doubting in ourselves and in our faith. Because when we do that, we're going to find ourselves being pulled in all kinds of different directions. You see, when we have a mission, we have direction. And we're not going around in circles. Do you have a mission? Are you on a mission right now? Is that mission part of your vision, the kind of person you want to grow into being? And again, we said a moment ago about doing this prayerfully. We must counsel with God. We must pray about what we want to do. Then we must act on it and then move in trust. Get up and get busy with your spiritual life. Somebody had said earlier, it was Gary Henry a few weeks ago, about, remember the story of the guy who put the cable across Niagara Falls? Remember that? And he was going to walk across that cable. Number one, walking across a cable over that great, big, rushing body of water. That's scary enough. You know, I'm standing up above you guys, a couple feet? Sometimes, But can you imagine standing up over the Niagara Falls on a cable, walking across that, and then a wheelbarrow? Would you jump in that wheelbarrow? Even if you knew that you could get across there, would you do it? Know. But are you willing right now? God wants us to move in faith. God wants us to move in trust. Are we willing individually to launch out in faith that if we do something that we know God wants us to do, and that we will trust Him that He will be there to take us through, to be there to take care of us? Are we acting right now with trust? Here's the other great thing about having vision is it gives us direction. Look over another passage here in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. The old King James Version here says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to see where we are going. Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be a clear connection between today's activities and tomorrow's goals. What do you dream of accomplishing, spiritually speaking? And I tell you what, I think we need to slow down and pause on that just for a moment. What are your dreams and aspirations, spiritually speaking? Again, I think sometimes we just look back and say, well, I want to go to heaven. And that's all we think about. Do we ever think about what it's going to involve, what kind of person we're going to have to become in order to get home to heaven, and what we must do to become that kind of person? What are your goals spiritually? The connection between becoming the kind of person that you want to be and where you are right now to get it is vision. It's a mental image. It's a path. It's a goal. Direction is what we need, and vision gives us that direction. John Maxwell has said, the biggest gap in the world is between I should and I did. And I don't want any man, and I'm speaking to the younger ones here tonight, I don't want any man, because I've had to sit in my office before with men who find themselves at middle age, and I used to think 30 was middle age, by the way, and I've pretty well decided that's not it. But I've sat with some men that have reached middle age, and I'll let you decide what definition you want to use for middle age. But have sat and confessed to me, if only I had gotten my act together a few years sooner, then I could be in so much of a better spiritual shape than I am right now. If only I had gotten my act together in my 20s. If only I had gotten my act together in my 30s when I was raising my family so that my kids would be faithful now. I hope there's no one in here that has to get to that part of their life and have to look back on regret for what they should have, could have, and maybe had to do. I hope we can all look back by doing it right now, the things that we need to do, so that when we get to those later stages in life, we can look back and say, I was able to accomplish it, and I accomplished it with the help of God. A vision supplies energy. Has the status quo ever motivated you? Has mediocrity ever been something that just made you really excited? A challenge will. A challenge is something that gets our blood pumping and gets our excitement level raised. And before you know it, we're just go, 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 and happy and excited and pumped. A challenge can help us get going, can supply the energy we need, and it can make us think about what we can accomplish with God's help. And you know what's really cool about this is planning things out can help build momentum, because as we move and we're able to check things off on our personal checklist in our life, it begins to build momentum. We say, yeah, this can really happen. I really can become the kind of person I need to be. A vision supplies energy. Many Christians have no vision. I'm afraid there are many men that just go around living day by day with no thought whatsoever of what they'll need to be doing in 10, 15, 20, and even 30 years down the road so that they can lead. And let me say this, oh, how the church needs godly, qualified leaders. Would you not agree with me? We have a shortage right now of qualified, godly leaders as you look across the brotherhood as a whole. It doesn't have to be that way in subsequent generations. We can start now molding our lives in the kind of direction they need to go. So I want to conclude tonight by asking you this. What direction are you headed? And what are you willing to do to get there? What's it going to take? We can look at Matthew 16:24, where Jesus says, if any man wants to follow after me, let him take up his cross, follow after me. We can talk about total commitment and what was involved and what Jesus said there. And all of that's necessary to get home to heaven. But right now, as you take a spiritual inventory of where you are, what direction are you headed? Let me suggest to you this. You're only going one of two directions. There is no standing still. There is no holding your own, spiritually speaking. You're either moving closer to God or farther away from Him. Which direction are you headed? Maybe you haven't even started yet. And this is an invitation for you to become a Christian tonight. We'd love to assist you in doing that. All things are ready. If you're already a Christian and maybe you've just been kind of flailing around, going around in circles, maybe you're hot and cold, here's a chance to get going again spiritually. I hope you'll give consideration to the things we've talked about. If you're subject to this invitation, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.